It was on June 6, 1944, that General Dwight D. Eisenhower made a pivotal decision when he decided to send 155,000 American and Allied troops to storm the beaches of France to break down the stronghold of Nazi Germany. As they landed on the shores, the enemy, already entrenched, began to fire round after round after round on those 155,000 brave soldiers. 10,000 men lost their lives at Omaha Beach on that bloody, brutal day. Yet the Allied soldiers kept coming, wave after wave after wave, until they took the strongholds, the high towers from which the Nazi soldiers fired. Had the Allies failed, Germany would have dominated Europe and possibly the world militarily, but their success ensured eventual victory. It has been said that the greatest military invasion in the history of the world took place on D-Day. The repercussions from that bloody battle on the beaches of France are monumental. It may have been a turning point in the war, some believe. The invasion that took place on Omaha Beach was nothing compared to an infinitely greater invasion that took place the day God invaded this world in the person of Jesus Christ. Now that was the ultimate invasion. And when He shed His blood, not to keep us politically free, but to set us free from sin, death, Satan, and hell forever. Satan's plan of nailing Jesus to the cross totally backfired on him because his foothold on humanity was broken forever that day. Because the blood of Jesus Christ paid the price for the sin of all men. And on that day, Satan was defeated for all time and eternity. We must never forget that, in spite of what things look like, in spite of our experiences in life when it seems like we're being defeated, when it seems like things are not going well. One Bible teacher and pastor said this: "It's interesting to know that when the Allied invasion succeeded, Hitler and the Nazis in Berlin knew their days were numbered. They knew they didn't have a chance, but they continued fighting to the bitter end. It is said that more blood was shed in the year following the victory at Normandy than any other time in the war. And it's no different in this spiritual war. Satan knows that he has no chance and that his time is also running out. Yet at the very same time, his hatred for God and the people of God goes so deep that he's not content with just being cast into outer darkness by himself. He wants to take as many people with him as he can." And we see the depth of that wickedness happen over and over again in our culture. You wonder why these people, if they're just tired of living, they just don't do themselves in. Why do they got to go down to a place where they work or a school and then take everybody else with them and then kill themselves? Well, basically it's the same thing, because Satan has that same deep inner desire, because that desire cannot be satisfied in the war that he's in. For us who know Christ as Savior, Jesus cried from the cross, "It is finished, te telestai." It is finished. For us, Christ won the victory, although the war goes on. Although there are still fatalities, there are still those that get wounded, there are still those that desert, or deserters in this war. Someone said we don't fight from victory. No, for victory. We fight from victory. We do not fight, there it is, for victory. We fight from victory. And the battle will continue until the enemy is cast into outer darkness. As far as we are concerned, the devil's battle, his battleground, is revealed in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. And it says this, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The first thing that we learn from this particular verse is that you cannot use fleshly weapons to fight spiritual battles. That's verses 3 and 4. The methodologies of the man of this world will never work if the problem is a spiritual one. Human weapons and human wisdom provided to us by the world will never be able to deliver those who are living in bondage to darkness. But so often that is what we try to use, but they don't work. God says in His Word, our weapons are not to be weapons of the flesh or of the world, because our enemy is not of the flesh or of the world. Our enemy is spiritual. And so our weapons are to be spiritual weapons. Many people that we all know have been wrestling with things in their lives for years and years and years with no success. Why is that? Maybe it's because they have been using the wrong weapons. And maybe that's why there's no success. I don't want you to misunderstand me at all. Every problem that we have is not spiritually caused. Some are physically caused. Don't go overboard in this spiritual war Bible study, because there's not a demon under every rock. The powers of Satan aren't the cause of everything in our life. But they are a cause of some things in our lives. We need to remember, things that have a spiritual cause need a spiritual solution. Charles Stanley, in his book on prayer that I have on page 23, he said this. He says, there was a period in my life when every time I knelt to pray, I would fall asleep. Regardless of how much sleep I had, I could not stay awake when I began to pray. I did everything I knew to do, but nothing helped. I had no problem studying, even when I arose early, but I couldn't pray 10 minutes without falling asleep. He said, I struggled with this for almost a whole year till the Lord revealed the problem to me. He said, Satan would rather I preach or study than pray. He would rather I do anything than pray. To hinder me, he attacked me with that sleepiness. He said, when I finally realized this, I asked God if he would tear down this stronghold of slumber, this stronghold of sleepiness, and replace it with a spirit of alertness. And he said, the problem immediately was gone. That's not my problem. I'm sleepy all the time. No. Especially at 6 in the morning. My problem is not falling asleep when I pray. My problem is taking the time to pray at all. That's my problem. So the first thing that we see in verses 3 and 4... regarding the spiritual warfare that we're in, you cannot use fleshly weapons to fight spiritual battles. The next thing we see is in verse 5. The devil's battleground is described here, and it's the mind. Notice three words in verse 5. Three words in verse 5. I'm going to read verse 5. We are destroying, word number one, speculations, or you might have arguments, and every lofty thing raised up against, here's the second word, the knowledge of God, speculations and knowledge. And we are to take every thought, there's our third word, captive to the obedience of Christ. Those three words point to the mind. The one here that's fascinated me, and we will refer to it a few times, is that word speculations. You might have the word arguments. If you look that up, what Greek word that's used there, it can be translated as opinions. It can be translated also as assumptions, speculations, assumptions, opinions, arguments. Those are all words that describe that Greek word. That one kind of fascinated me a little bit there. Often, when it comes to our assumptions or our speculations or our personal opinions, they are often baseless. Often they have no basis in what is true. And often they don't even have any basis in what is real. In reality. And often we take our speculations, our assumptions, our personal opinions, and we base our life on those things, on things that may not even be true. Speculations. I remember back when my son Billy and I were working for the same company, and there was this fellow, I was trying to remember his name, but I can't. But I had never worked with him personally, but Billy had worked with him. And he said something about him that Billy thought was kind of funny. He was a good worker, a faithful worker. He was always on time. He did a good job. But there was one thing about him that struck my son kind of funny. And I think his name might have been Craig, so we'll just call him Craig. He said, you know, when I worked with Craig, Craig always thought somebody was after him. And it didn't affect his work. He was a good worker. You know, he did a good job and everything else. But he said it was funny because sometimes he'd look around like this. And so there was this speculation, this assumption, this personal opinion that wasn't even in reality. There was nobody after him. But for some reason, he thought there was somebody after him. And to the point where he would even jerk and look around once in a while. And that kind of just struck my son as odd and funny, because he had never met anybody like that. Well, he says we are to destroy speculations. He also says, and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. Where do thoughts come from that go against God? That's knowledge against God. Like atheism, it's a knowledge against God. Where does that come from? Where does the thoughts, I don't need church or I don't need Bible study, things like that? Where does it come from? He says, destroy every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. So we're talking about thinking. We're talking about the mind. We're talking about information. Where does it come from? Where does thoughts of suicide that are for sure against God? God never condones. Where do they come from? And what is the cure? Well, they come from the evil one. They are satanically inspired thoughts. See, there's one thing Satan does not want you and me to know and believe, because it's so effective. He does not want you to know that he can put his thoughts into your mind. And often when he does, we don't even know the difference. We can't tell the difference. And he likes that. That gives him some control. He did it, we find it in the Bible, he did it to David and Peter and Ananias and Sapphira and others, where he led them. He put his way, his thoughts, his desires here. Maybe you've heard of Kay Arthur, Bible teacher. She's a great lady Bible teacher, and she's got a book out on spiritual warfare. And she, in that book, was very open and very honest a few times about spiritual warfare. And she told this story about one very difficult day of ministry. And she was feeling all sorts of negative stuff. She was feeling unwanted. And as this was going on, all sorts of buried hurts were coming to the surface. And she said that she was getting ready to go to bed in the bathroom, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, she had this thought: why don't you just kill yourself? See, part of the struggle that she was having, from what I glean related to what she said, was that her first husband committed suicide. And this was, you know, a long time ago. And those were coming up, and she was in pain. And she had that thought, why don't you just kill yourself? Then there'll be no more grief, there'll be no more pain. And by the way, then you get to go home. Hey, that's pretty good. Just kill yourself. You're going to go to heaven. So you get out of this mess and the pain that she was in. She wrote this: for a moment, I entertained the thought. Then I came to my senses. The enemy had crept into the camp, taken advantage of my pain, disguised himself as my thoughts. I realized once again the enemy was after me. However, I was not ignorant of his schemes this time. It was warfare, and for a moment I was caught off guard, which is a dangerous place to be. But at least she understood the enemy, and those truths came to mind, and she was victorious there. See, we are to destroy assumptions and arguments and speculations, personal opinions, and often those are based on nothing. They are based on what we think, you know, our thoughts. Dr. Tony Evans said this, quote, until you fix your head, you will never solve your problem with your feet, unquote. Until you fix your head, you will never solve your problem with your feet. In order for you to find freedom and be released from whatever it is that is holding you hostage, as a believer in Christ, you need to begin to think differently. You need to bring every thought into captivity in obedience to Christ, it says there. Now, notice at the end of verse 4, it uses the word fortresses, or you might have strongholds. Now, I want to describe it like this. A fortress or a stronghold is a walled-in area. So I want you to think of something that you cannot seem to get victory over. It can be anything. It can be an attitude, an action, an addiction, anything. Anything that's in your life that you struggle with, that you can't get victory over. It can also be a past hurt. You can't get victory over it, it seems like. Or maybe it's a past memory. It does not matter what it is. It can be anything. Now, if you're thinking, I can't think of anything, well, then I would just encourage you to ask your wife or your husband. Or if you dare, if you got a lot of courage, ask your children. Because we all have things that we struggle, whether it be an action or an attitude that we have, but that we know that we have. Now, I want you to take whatever that might be, that attitude, action, behavior, addiction, whatever it is, and I want you to place it right out in the open. So put it right there. I want you to set it right there. Stick it right there. Right there in the open so you can see it. Clearly see what it is. And it doesn't matter what it is. So can you see it in the open right there? It's not hidden any longer. And then I want you to put a high wall around it. And so you have it right there, some problem, some habit, some whatever, and then put a wall around it. That's the stronghold. That's the fortress. It is whatever it is built with a wall around it, he says here. And he identifies that to be here in the mind. So we put this fortress, this stronghold, and it doesn't matter what's in it. It can even be multiple things. It can be somebody hurt you in the past, and it's in there. And you've built this wall around it. And the wall, in our text, is described as thoughts, speculations, and knowledge. It is, and here's the wall that we place around whatever that is that we can't seem to get victory over. We can't seem to overcome. It's our wrong thoughts, speculations, and knowledge about someone or something that builds the wall around it, that makes it a stronghold or a fortress that we can't get over, or we can't overcome it. Every time you think something like this, as a believer in Christ. Now remember, I'm talking to Christians here, those that know Christ as Savior. Every time, related to your stronghold, that thing that you have not been able to get victory over, every time you think, I can't, or it's impossible because I've tried it, you've just fortified the wall. You've put it in this wall, which is your speculations, your assumptions, your thoughts, your knowledge that is godless knowledge. It goes against God. You've built that wall. And then every time you've said, I can't, I can't, I can't, because I've tried, you just fortify that wall, and you keep fortifying that wall and making it stronger. See, we make it a stronghold that we can't get over. To say I can't is both true and false. Let me explain it this way. It's true that you can't. That's true. But it's also true that you can. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. So if you're trying to overcome, get rid of that stronghold, and you're trying to do it in your own strength and your own will and your own mind, and you're trying to do it, you can't. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then I can. See, it's both true and false, that statement. Now, whatever it is that may be walled in and has become a stronghold, whatever that is, it will control your life. It will influence both your actions and your attitude. And that's why it's so dangerous. For instance, maybe someone has wronged you and has hurt you and it's become a stronghold in your life, then that hurt, that wrong, will influence your whole life. It will affect everything you feel, do, think, say. Whatever is in there will affect every relationship that you will ever have. Because it's this stronghold. Now, remember, the stronghold can be anything that you can't overcome, from physical to attitudes, whatever. But what makes that a stronghold is not the event, is not the thing that you are thinking of right now. It's the wall that you've built around it. And the wall that we built around it are false or wrong speculations or knowledge or information. To get victory over strongholds, no matter what they are, will mean you will have to tear down the walls of wrong thinking and bring, notice what it says, you'll have to tear down the walls of wrong thinking, which has made it a stronghold, and you will have to bring every thought, that's the hard part, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That means you need to start thinking right. You must choose to think biblically. There's no way to think right if you don't know what right is, and the only right there is right here. And so you begin to think biblically, and as you approach whatever that is in a biblical manner, in a truth way, then you start to tear down the wall of wrong thoughts, wrong speculations, wrong assumptions, wrong ideas, wrong knowledge that's against God and His truth. You must, to do that, you got to stop blaming and denying and accusing and excusing whatever it is in your thought life. There's a gal by the name of Jennifer Rothschild. She has a great book out. I just got the book and I'm partway through it already. But it was put out in 2007. I think it'd be a great one for Janet's class, I think. I don't know. I don't know if she's even read that one. It's called Self-Talk and Soul Talk. Maybe you've read it or done it. It's really good. Anyways, I'd even put a wig on. No, go to the girls' class. In her book, she says, it has been scientifically proved that everybody talks to themselves. Duh. Right? It's been scientifically proved. She said, I don't know how they do that. Because they said this, in fact, your inner dialogue consists of between 150 to 300 words per minute. How do they figure that out, scientifically speaking? I don't know, but that's what she says they say. Scientists say. But few of us actually take time to think about the things we say to ourselves. The process, she writes, is so natural that we don't even notice it. And therein lies the problem. Now remember, the walls we build are our assumptions, our thinking, the knowledge. She would call it our soul talk, our self-talk. And what if the majority of our self-talk or our soul talk is wrong? Then we're building a wall around that, whatever it is, with lies. And we keep fortifying the wall with this self-talk. And we do it all the time, she says. Our self-talk, she writes, can be one of three things. It can be constructive, it can be destructive, or it can be neutral. One of those three. Everything we say to ourselves falls into one of those three categories. She says neutral thoughts would be things like, I wonder where I put my keys. That's neutral thought. Or, I wonder if my husband remembered to go buy and get the bread and milk we need. Neutral thoughts. I wonder if I remembered to put the dog out. You know, stuff like that. They're just neutral. They're not constructive or destructive. And a lot of our thoughts are just some of those kind of things. But the problem, she writes, we have, is many of the words we say to ourselves are not constructive nor neutral, but are destructive. We don't stop to consider whether things that we tell ourselves are even true or not. And then she says this, amazingly, much of our self-talk is false. Not even true. They're based on lies that can, and I would add this, build our walls. That keep us from entering fully into the lives that God wants us to enjoy. When our self-talk agrees with God's word, we can experience freedom like never before. Why is that? Why is it when our self-talk agrees with what God says that we can live free? It's because the truth is tearing down the wall to expose what's there. What is the center of the stronghold that we have. Proverbs 23:7 says, For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. This reveals two things. Number one, it tells us how important our thought life is and how important it is to bring every thought captive. If it's true that as we think, so are we, then that makes it important. Our thought life is important. We need to bring every thought captive to Christ because it's important. Not only does it tell us how important our thought life is, this also says if you really want to change, you must, as Tony Evans said it, fix your head. Begin to think differently. Watch this, even when it comes to your speculations, things that you assume to be true. And that, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says destroy speculations, destroy assumptions, destroy opinions. Now that one interested me. Because we make a lot of assumptions, don't we? And we live our lives based on those assumptions. Jennifer Rothschild has a great chapter talking about assumptions. And she said this, quote, "We assume a lot, don't we? And more often than not, our assumptions are not true." She admits that, quote, "Many times throughout my life, I've operated under faulty assumptions based on wrong thinking." Often the walls around our strongholds, the strongholds of our lives, are made up of faulty assumptions. It's no wonder we can't get victory. It's no wonder we can't tear the walls down because the walls that are built around it are faulty assumptions that we've never even dealt with or thought about. John Stott was an Anglican minister who said this. You may have heard it. He said, "You sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." Our faulty assumptions or speculations may be what the wall is that's making whatever that might be that you can't get victory over, you cannot overcome, whether it's an attitude or an action or an addiction, it makes no difference. The reason you can't is because you've built this wall with faulty assumptions or speculations or ideas or like this one, personal opinions. My personal opinion that I may base my life on may be faulty, may be wrong. It may not even be true. And remember what I said, it is possible for Satan and the powers of darkness to place their thoughts in your mind, to try to lead you with their thoughts and their values and their way? I think sometimes, and maybe a lot of times, our faulty assumptions aren't even ours. They're His. He's placed them there. We've built our life around it, and then we can't seem to overcome whatever it is we see there. Jennifer Rothschild refers to what's in our mind as our thought closet. So we have our thought closet here. And she said this regarding our thought closet. All of those things that we have put in there, true or not, assumptions, knowledge, makes no difference. It's in our thought closet. She said this, the life that you are living right now is a direct reflection of your thoughts. So what's in your thought closet? Is it giving you the life you want? You see, some of the things in our thought closet are there because we haven't paid attention. And they're there because someone else gave them to us. Like a parent or a spouse or a former spouse. Some of us have things in our thought closets like names that we call ourselves. She said, my name of choice is idiot. Oh, you idiot, she thinks to herself. You're such an idiot. Now, do you think I would ever call you that? She said, never. I would never call you an idiot. I call myself an idiot all the time. I did that one time, and I was reprimanded by one of our lovely ladies in our church. You shouldn't call yourself an idiot. You're not an idiot. Anyhow, but I used to call myself that. Then she says, how about you? What's in your thought closet? And then whatever it is it true? Is that really true? That's her point. Because we build the walls with lies and false assumptions. And the only way to tear the wall down to get to the what's in the stronghold or the fortress is with truth. That's the only way. Biblical truth will tear down the walls that hold it in there. So what about tearing down strongholds? The strongholds of our lives that are developed and fortified by faulty self-talk. How do we do that? How do we tear down some very strong walls that have been fortified over and over and over, sometimes for years? It involves three things. No matter how much you've fortified it, three things. Number one, you will have to pay attention to what you are saying to yourself, your thoughts, so you can bring them into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You must pay attention to, and that's hard because they're just kind of normal and natural. I was thinking, you know, it's kind of like breathing. I never think about breathing unless I have a breathing problem. Right? It's just, I'm just breathing. I'm breathing right now. I didn't think about it. And that's the same thing with our thoughts. But once we begin to recognize that there's a problem, then it seems like we notice every breath we take. And the same thing is true with our thought life. We just think. It's just natural. But once we realize that the inner self-talk can be faulty, and often is faulty, then that will help us to start thinking about it, noticing it. Because we can't bring captivity to the obedience of Christ every thought if we're not noticing what we're thinking. So the first thing is you will have to pay attention to what you are saying to yourself, your thoughts. And second, the thoughts you're thinking need to be true. They need to be biblical. Every good counselor, biblical Christian counselor, will do this. They will listen for this. Is what they're saying true? Because what you're trying to do is to get them to to tell you what they're thinking, tell you what they're feeling. Is the feeling true? Is it biblical? Is the thinking that they're thinking true or false? And all you have to do is listen to what they say and bring it up against the Bible. You'll know if it's true. Or is it God's thoughts or man's thoughts or the devil's thoughts? So often, when I personally have opportunities to sit there with people and they begin to share with me quickly, just like that, I start, that's not true. That's not biblical. And then you have to challenge them on that, because they're so entrenched into that. It's a speculation, assumption, a knowledge, a thought, or an experience, or whatever, that is not true. And sometimes you can't convince them. So the wall will never tear down, because you can't convince them that they're assumption. And often they're just assumptions. They're just speculations. They're not grounded in any fact or in any truth. And sometimes that's the problem we have with our experiences. The experience is not based in fact. We accept our experiences as fact, and sometimes they're not. And so we need to base those things. So first of all, we have to pay attention to our thought life, to that self talk, that soul talk. David did it. In places, I read some deal where they quoted a whole bunch of verses and it kept saying, oh soul this, oh soul that. What is he doing? Self-talk, basically. He may have been just doing it to himself and writing it down. That's the first one. Your thoughts need to be true. And the only way you can tell they'd be true, you need to hold them up to the plumb line of truth. And how do they compare? Or is it true or not? The third one is, this is it. Now, once you've done that, and once you've taken your thoughts, your experiences, your speculations, your musings, your all of it, and you hold it up against truth, God's biblical truth, then you tear down the wall, right? And so little by little, this is a process, takes time. You have to take every hurt, everything you see, and tear it down with truth. Now, once you're all done, all you have laying there is what you put in there that you're protecting. And that's our third point. We must by faith, number three, once we tear down the walls that we have built up, we've done it over a period of time, we need to deal with what the wall was protecting. We need to deal with what was in there. And so it's not good enough just to tear the walls down and expose it. You know, and you see it clearly, you need to deal with what you see. Because that's what happened before. Whatever it is, a hurt or a sin or whatever it is, you didn't deal with it biblically. You didn't deal with it the way God says to deal with it. And so you began to build the wall to hide it. So then you can't get over it. So once it's there, then you've got to be honest and you've got to admit what's in there and what you've been hiding. And so we need to confess of that sin, of that hurt. We need to repent of it. That means, you know, to just walk away from it in God's strength to do that. It may mean you have to ask for forgiveness. It may mean you have to give forgiveness to deal with it. And there's something else we need to do, and you need to do, and I need to do, is we must by faith see whatever it is that we put the wall around, that we're hiding. We must just see that sin, hurt, failure, doesn't matter, that it was nailed to the cross. It was placed in Christ and nailed to the cross. That it was paid for by Christ. That he dealt with it. He took it on himself and paid for it. And as a result of that, we are both forgiven and set free by God. That's the stronghold that we all have to deal with in our lives. I'm going to close with a story that Tony Evans said, and I just thought it was cool. It kind of fits. I think it fits. Anyways, he said this in a sermon that he was preaching regarding this passage. He said, when you were not saved, you had in your brain a godless hard drive or a godless way of thinking. Satan, throughout your life, has put on that hard drive of your mind his way of thinking, causing you to operate according to his way. We find that in Ephesians 2:2. But when you trusted Christ as Savior, he gave you a new disk, a new hard drive that is empty. And you are to put new data on it. Data that comes from God, and as a Christian, that new data will begin to control both how you feel and what you do in life. This new data on this new hard drive will begin to tear down the walls built by the old data. I added that little phrase in his quote. That whole wall thing was my day. Anyways, it will begin to tear down the walls built by the old data. And as a result of being a believer in Christ, this new data that you're receiving will change your life, change your behavior, change your attitude, change your emotional state, whatever it might be. Now here's the problem. Tony Evans goes on and says, many believers in Christ have been given a new disc, but are still living their old lives according to the old disc. And here's the reason why. Because the new disc has little to nothing on it. Godless thinking will cause us to never get victory over the strongholds of our lives, because it's truth that sets us free. It's truth that will tear down the strongholds of false assumption, speculation, knowledge, or experience. It's the truth of God that tears down those walls, those fortresses that we have built up by the lies that we have chosen to believe. And so the key is putting information, God's word, truth, onto the hard drive of our mind. As we do that, the walls will come down. Sometimes easily, sometimes more difficult. It depends on how fortified they are. But they will come down, exposing what's inside, and then we take what's inside to Christ, give it to Him, and He takes it away and gives us freedom. That's the spiritual battle that takes place in the mind of each one of us. Father, Lord, thank you that you give us the answers to what we need to know. And then, Father, the truth of all of it is up to us now to become doers of the word, to take time when it comes to self-talk, to ask the question, is it true? Is it right? Is it from God? Is it from Satan? Lord, I just pray that you would help us to do that, because we need your help to do what really doesn't come naturally to us. It's only natural just to go on and not think about anything and, you know, just think what we think and not worry about it. But Father, help us to be able to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, to what He says is true and right, so that those strongholds of our heart and mind might be destroyed, so that we might be freed. Thank you, Father, for enabling us to do that if we just trust you and rely on you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 430